This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I am Lisa Wysocki from Nashville, Tennessee, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 23rd, episode 1802. This episode is brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Monday, Monday, can't trust that day.
I didn't know.
Well, it was your fault, so.
Behind our masks, we're perfectly ordinary people.
And now, our perfectly unordinary host, Jamie Jennings.
Really? Just remember, my friend, that payback can happen.
And Glenn the Geek.
I'd have to get new tights.
And actually, Jamie Jennings is not here. We have Lisa Wysocki with us today. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
So glad to have you with us this morning.
I'm so glad to be here. It's exciting.
Well, now, Jamie was too lazy because she's like on vacation in Ireland.
And I'm so jealous.
Did you see how she traveled to vacation in Ireland?
No, tell me.
First class.
I get even more jealous. No way.
In one of those recliner seats with the TVs and the stereo and the headphones and the slippers.
She is living my dream trip right now. So I'm going to have to chat after.
Yeah, she's going fox hunting in Ireland too. So
I just am so jealous.
And she apparently, you know, with Chad being an American Airlines pilot, he can get a little perks occasionally. So that was a little surprise. And she looked spoiled, actually, in that little cubicle thing. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, man.
I know. That sure beats coach, doesn't it?
It sure does. It sure does. And she's going to come back with so many great stories.
Yeah, we're going to have to devote an entire episode because she's going to have too many stories.
Yeah. Oh, that is my absolute number one dream trip.
I know. Jennifer and I do want to go to all of the UK. We want to visit Scotland and Ireland.
Yeah.
And, but I think that's going to be a 3-month trip with everything we want to see.
Yep.
So Jennifer will just have to do the shows from England for a couple months.
Go. There you go.
Then we can bring Scooter along. What do you think?
I don't know that Scooter, he would travel all that well.
You know what?
By FedEx.
We could get a gypsy wagon, and that's how we could get around the country.
There you go.
We'll just have Scooter pull us in this great big gypsy wagon.
Have you consulted Scooter about that?
Yeah. As lazy as he is, I think it'd take us 10 years to get around.
But wouldn't that be fun? I mean, seriously?
And it'd be calling PETA every stop. Hey, over here. Look what these people are doing to me. That'd be Scooter. Hey, Jennifer, what's coming up?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, Dr. Chang stopped by and he's going to explain hyaluronic acid and joint function. And I'm sure he will correct me on how I'm supposed to say that. And then Leslie Janecki is going to stop by and she's going to decipher our acronym of the day, KEMI, K-E-M-I. And the Wacky World of Horse Station features Leslie with an Equestrians Have Talent update, plus the latest in equine-inspired sarcasm. And happy Boston Cream Pie Day, everybody. Enjoy a piece of pie because everybody knows that calories don't count on national holidays. Stay tuned for the phrase, folks.
Is it a national holiday?
National.
Oh, they don't. I get it. I was going. But did I miss a holiday? Wow. It's Monday. I'm not with it.
Yeah.
All right. Daily winning time. Well, my daily winnie goes out to an entire new batch of auditors that signed up last week, and we want to thank you all. We had a bunch of them. So Victoria, Kelly, Kathleen, Chantel, Cheryl and Aaron all signed up. And Aaron, I think we have to credit to our legacy listener, Rhonda, who saw her at the dressage clinic. Who was it? Charlotte Desjardins' coach. Help me out here, guys.
Hester.
Carl Hester.
Carl.
Yes, at there the Carl go. Hester Clinic up there. And Rhonda said, you got to become an auditor. So Aaron's been listening for a long time and then became an auditor. So thank you to all of you. You can become an auditor just by heading over to the Horses in the Morning Facebook page or Horse Radio Network. Actually, the Horse Radio Network website, horseradionetwork.com. I got to wake up. And on the right side of the page is the auditor banner. And for as little as $1 a month, you too can become an auditor and join the Cool Kids Club. Now, if I mentioned your name there and you haven't joined the Facebook page yet, search for HRN Auditors and request to join. And then they'll double check, make sure you've signed up, and you can become an auditor in the page. Lots happening in there right now. So that's my daily Winnie. Now it's your turn.
Well, my daily Winnie goes to yard sale shoppers everywhere. And maybe some of the new auditors are yard sale shoppers, in which case they get two daily Winnies today, which would be very exciting for them. The Colby's Army Learning Center, which is the nonprofit that I'm involved with, had a huge yard sale extravaganza last Saturday, and we had about 300 people come through, and lots of used tack and horse demonstrations and meet the therapy horse. And I'd just like to thank everybody who came out to support the nonprofit, and also just to give a shout out to everybody who was out at a yard sale, because I love the idea of repurposing items that might otherwise end up in a landfill someplace.
So what you're trying to say is you like the idea of one person selling their junk to another person?
I love it. I do. I think it's great. I think it's the best concept ever invented.
We were at a local festival, arts festival here. That's pretty big, actually. There's like 30,000 people show up in McIntosh, Florida, which I got to tell you, is nothing but little streets with little Florida houses and huge live oak trees everywhere. Cool. They must have lost a lot of crap during the storm.
Oh, I bet they did.
But there was tons of people. And I know you probably go to craft festivals too. Every year there seems to be a thing. It's a new thing that half the booths have that thing. And then you see it for a year or two and then it's gone. Right? It's this artsy crafty thing that's in. Well, this year,
how do they know what that thing is?
That's a good question. I don't know if they all get together and decide that's going to be the thing or what, but this year's thing was crafty signs.
Oh.
You know, signs made out of barn boards and just signs that with cute sayings. And, you know, they've always been kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But this year, the big long ones about 6-8 foot long and about 6 inches tall, and with writing on it like Florida, and they had all different kinds of stuff. I saw a ton of people carrying them around. There were people buying signs this year. So signs were definitely the in thing.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. I wonder where you would put an 8 foot long
sign. I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out. I don't know. I don't know where it would fit in the house. But yeah, they were their signs were definitely in. And it was a fun little festival. As I said, about 30,000 of our friends there too. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it was busy.
It's nice to have 30,000 friends, Glenn.
Yes. I did want to talk a little bit before our first guest here today about our lineup this week. Tomorrow we have the Western episode with Tara will be here. And then Wednesday, we're going to have a best of for you. Thursday, we're live from the Certified Horsemanship Association conference in Lexington, Kentucky. And I know you've been to that conference before.
Oh, I have. It's such a great conference and such wonderful people. And I'd have to say the CHA instructors are so dedicated and, you know, just so caring about their students that they go to this conference every year just to learn and network. It's an amazing thing. I wish I could be there this year.
I do too, because then we could finally meet you.
Well, we've met, Glenn.
Yes, we've met, but we haven't seen each other in like a long time.
We have not seen each other in a long time, but at AHP in June, American Horse Publications.
How long has it been?
Oh, gee, Glenn, it's probably been 6 or 7 years.
I was going to say, it was when we started the Horse Radio Network.
It's you guys were network. Still living in Lexington.
Yeah, we've been here 6 years, so
yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, it's been that long. It's been that long. So, yeah. Holy
well,
cow.
I'm sorry you're not going to be there. Jennifer's really looking forward to it, too, because they have hands-on clinics and seminars all day.
They do.
Yeah, so she's looking forward to that, being an old instructor.
Yes. I wish I could be there, but Yeah, I hope, you know, and I think there's probably still room for if somebody wants
yes,
to go.
Yes, there is. And you can go to the Certified Horsemanship Association website and find it. You come see us. As I said, we're going to be live from there on Thursday morning, right from the hotel, I think, where it's at. And she has lined up like 12 guests for us, so we're going to be busy.
Awesome.
And then at the AHP conference next year, which is American Horse Publications, we always do a live show from there. And Jamie did it this time because it was in Phoenix. But seeing you're going next year, you have to do the show with us. You have to co-host.
I would love that. Yeah, that would be great. Yeah,
that'll be
I'll
fun.
Do it. It will be.
Sounds good. Well, let's get to our first guest. I think she's ready.
Yay. So our first guest is Leslie Janeka. She's the winner of the Thoroughbred Industry Community Award. And this is a major award. They had over 100 people that were being considered for this award. Leslie, I am so excited to talk to you. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, Leslie, you're breaking up on us. Are you on speaker?
I am.
Yeah,
I'm actually traveling today.
Yeah, we won't be able to do it on speaker. We can barely hear you.
Yeah. Leslie, are you there?
I'm going to put Leslie back on. I'm going to put her back. Jennifer, maybe you can see if you can get that fixed up a little, but we're not going to be able to do it with that connection. So I wanted to ask you, one of the things that's come up lately is hay, and people have been asking what hay you use and everything. And we, you know, we buy coastal down here, which is kind of like broom grass everywhere else, right?
Yeah.
And one of the things we've started feeding recently is peanut hay.
Tell me about that, because I've heard about that.
I don't know much about it. Jennifer's going to have to fill us in. But what do you use in Tennessee?
Well, we have a lot of orchard grass, and most of the places here, I think, you know, we buy from local farmers or the local feed store who buys from the farmers, and that's just typically orchard grass. Sometimes it's got some fescue mixed in. Our horses don't eat fescue, so we try to get the, you know, the orchard grass. And then the alfalfa, there is some local alfalfa, but if you're here in Middle Tennessee and you're looking for a lot of hay, it's probably coming from Arkansas. So the Arkansas, you know, hay buyers, you know, ship a lot of hay into Tennessee. And, you know, you'd think we'd get a lot of Kentucky hay, but we don't. Most of ours comes from Arkansas.
So what are you paying?
Well, that depends. So $5 a bale for grass hay and $8 for alfalfa seems to be kind of the going rate if you're buying just a little bit at a time. And I don't have a lot of place to store hay, so we're looking at maybe like 70 bales at a time. If you're, you know, if you've got a big hay barn and you're buying thousands of bales, you know, you can drop that price a little bit, maybe $3.50 or $4 for grass hay and maybe $7 for alfalfa.
Wow.
I'm sure you're jumping up and down about those prices.
Yes. Yeah, $7 for alfalfa. Yeah, that ain't happening down here. That's
and
like 25.
Yeah, it's good alfalfa. And we just have one horse who, the thoroughbred, you know, who's on the alfalfa, and the others just kind of look longingly at it and whiff in the smell, and they get the grass hay. So. But I know Scooter now, he's a little picky.
Yeah, Scooter's picky. He doesn't like coastal because that's like, you know, eating rice cakes. Jennifer's played around with, and of course, hay is so expensive. We were trying to find something affordable that he'd actually eat because he just had expensive tastes.
Right.
So Jennifer, what do we use now? We're using peanut, but why, what is peanut hay? It has nothing to do with peanuts, right?
Well, actually, it does. I did a little bit of research the other day, and technically, it's called perennial peanut hay, and it is actually a peanut plant, but it is a specific subspecies, hybrid, something like that, of peanuts in that it never gets a peanut fruit. There's never any peanuts on the bottom because peanuts grow in the ground. It only grows the plant on top, and it is perennial. Unlike peanut hay, without the word perennial in it, is actually the dead peanut plant. After they harvest the nuts, they bale it up and use it for fodder. Two completely different things.
That is fascinating. And so being that we're here in more in middle America, we don't have that. Do horses have peanut allergies, I wonder?
I was thinking that too, actually.
I was reading up on that too.
See? We're talking to the right person.
Yeah, there we go. And I have not been able to get any proper research on it, but maybe I have
Dr. Chang
found,
will know.
Maybe he will know. I have found references to feeding horses roasted peanuts, but not raw peanuts.
Okay.
Peanut hulls are actually a common feed ingredient. If you look at the ingredients on the back of a very inexpensive bag of horse feed, for example, something that's in the, you know, $7 to $9 range, you will see peanut hulls because it is a non-digestible fiber that they can put into feed because horses need non-digestible fiber in their gut to keep things working, and it's very inexpensive. So it is a feed ingredient. But the peanut hay, the dead plant from the top of the ground that is baled up, is not recommended for horses because it is almost 100% non-digestible fiber. So it can cause impactions if they eat a quantity of it. So proper peanut hay versus perennial peanut hay is not recommended for horses. But perennial peanut hay is an excellent quality forage, and its nutrition profile is extremely close to alfalfa in every way.
That's amazing. And you know what I'm really amazed at? Is that this early on a Monday morning, you can say perennial peanut hay without stumbling over your words.
I'll tell you, it's very, I don't know how to describe it. The leaves look like tree leaves instead of like hay.
Ew.
They look like little tree leaves.
Much bigger.
And
you
then
post a picture of that on Facebook.
Yeah,
or something.
Maybe you can find a picture because, and then the other thing is they're, the stalks are stringy, like long and stringy. So when they're eating it, they have these big, long, stringy things hanging out of their mouth. But Scooter's the pickiest eater ever because he likes good quality stuff and he's, you know, expensive. And he's a Hackney pony, right? He deserves it. But he loves this stuff. Well, don't all Hackney ponies think they deserve it the best?
They do. That's part of being a Hackney. It's just ingrained.
They have things they like and things they don't like. Coastal's one of them.
So he doesn't like clover or, you know, Timothy hay or anything like that?
He likes Timothy alfalfa mix.
He will suffer through Timothy.
Poor guy.
He likes orchard grass, and he loves, if you give him alfalfa, he turns into a raging crack addict.
Yeah, but our alfalfa is like $35 a bale down here. I mean, it's
nuts.
Crazy expensive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's why we've kind of avoided it. Yeah. Because, and also he doesn't need it. It's like,
there you go.
He's a little fatty.
Yes. I saw a recent picture.
Well, there's peanut hay 101. He looks great. Don't tell me he's fat. He's not fat. He looks good. Jennifer's always telling me he's fat, and I think he looks just fine. So, so that's your peanut hay 101 for the day. Is our guest gone? Is that the deal?
Yes, we are going to try another day with Leslie because the Bluetooth was just not cutting it.
No, that wasn't cooperating. Yeah. Okay. So then I found, this is kind of fun for a Monday, being that none of us really feel like working this morning. So I found a list on Daily Mail a while back, and I've been holding this. Do you have any dogs or cats?
Oh, I have a dog. Abby is a Jack Wawa. And,
what?
That's a Jack Russell Chihuahua mix. And so when she was younger, for fun,
that's a hyper dog.
Yeah. She would crawl up a wall and do a backflip. And so now she's 12 and has some back issues.
Yeah, no kidding.
Back and knee issues.
Is that the barkiest darn dog ever?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured. Yeah.
So and so now instead of, you know, doing backflips, she just spins around in circles. She could be like a reining horse. So yeah, she likes to spin.
I didn't see you with a pocket dog.
Oh, she was a rescue. I couldn't resist.
I saw you with a bigger dog for some reason. I didn't picture you with a pocket dog.
Yeah, she was a rescue. I had a kitty cat named Bailey, and she passed away last year, and she was like 16. She was my buddy. But we haven't gotten a new cat yet. And Abby's very sad because she likes to play with cats.
Mm. Yes. Well, she likes to play with anything.
Yes, this is true. Yes, anything.
Well, I got a list here of the top most successful animal stars on social media. Now, it's become a thing to become an animal star on social media. So do you want to hear some of the top ones?
Oh, yes.
Well, right now, the number one, any guesses?
No. So I'm going to guess it's, I'm looking at this photo. I can't guess. I'm going to say it's a dog.
Yes, Doug the Pug. That's right. Doug the Pug, and now has 1.32 million followers on Instagram.
And he's a boy. He's originally from Nashville.
Yeah, he's from Nashville, and he runs around doing different things, and they film him doing different things, and he's now become hugely popular. They dress him in different outfits, and so, yeah, whoever is running that one is really clever. Now, the most popular one that everybody kind of knows about, everybody's known about it because they've been on TV. I think there was even a movie and everything, yeah. Is Grumpy Cat.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So Grumpy Cat, do you guys, either you or Jennifer, now don't look, no cheating. Do either you or Jennifer have any idea on the amount of money Grumpy Cat has made from all of his celebrity-ness?
No, but I know that Grumpy Cat has had like probably what, over 10 million views. So, you know, there's some money coming in there. I have no idea.
By the way, the real name of Grumpy, what was that, Jennifer?
I was going to guess a number.
Okay.
I'm going to say 3 million.
Okay. So Grumpy Cat emerged in 2014. His real name, is it a boy or a girl? I don't even remember. She. Yep. Real name was Tartar Sauce.
Really?
So that would make any cat grumpy, in my opinion. But Tartar Sauce. So anyway, yeah. With the movie and all the appearances and everything, we are talking, are you ready? Not 10 million, not 20 million, what? Not 30 million, not 40 million, 64 million pounds.
What?
Yes.
That's crazy.
I know. Why can't Scooter be earning 64 million pounds? What's wrong with that pony?
He needs to be grumpier.
Pretty grumpy.
Wow.
64 million pounds. There's a stray cat. It was a former stray white and gray Mogi cat from Massachusetts who broadcasts his daredevil encounters with toy mice and table legs and gets millions of views. And his name is Stockington. 1.14 million followers on Twitter.
Now, I am a Stockington fan.
Are you? Yeah?
I am, yes.
So why is Stockington so cool?
Just loves to play.
Yeah?
Just makes me smile.
Yeah? There you go.
Yeah. He's hysterical.
For all the bird people out there, Bird Activist has 376,000 followers. It's a fictional creature whose profile picture is a robin and keeps his followers entertained with a steady stream of bird-themed tweets and musings. So, Bird Activist, if you want to follow Bird Activist. Then there's Dodge. Dodge is a Shiba Inu? How do you say that? Shiba Inu?
Inu, I think.
Yeah, that's the fluffy ones. They're really fluffy dogs.
Yes, really cute.
250,000 fans. And just because he's cute and can post all kinds of pictures and he's so fluffy.
Yes.
Yeah. So then there's Little Bub. Little Bub has 250,000 followers. She has her own clothing label, book, counts Hollywood stars as her friends, and is in her own debut film, which is even shown at an acclaimed film festival. And Little Bub is just a little cat. It's just looks like a little cat to me.
Yeah, but she's a special needs cat,
which I think is
really cool. Yes. You know, she cannot close her mouth and you know, doesn't have any teeth and her tongue hangs out, but she's really cute.
Yeah, she's cute, but tiny cat.
Tiny.
And apparently she has a deformity in her paws and, you know, all kinds of stuff, but Little Bub has become a star.
She looks really happy.
Yes, she did. Well, she looks panty. Actually,
well, a little tug
thing all the time.
She does, yeah.
And then there's Anti-Joke Cat, who has 250,000 followers, and basically burst onto the scene in 2011 and quickly racked up huge following with deadpan and often darkly humorous jokes. So if you're going to, I checked out Anti-Joke Cat. You don't want to follow, not safe for work. You don't want to be reading that when at work.
Yeah.
And then Nyan Cat Twitter fame is recently because, and I've seen this one, Nyan Cat had a car designed in its honor, and it was a Lamborghini, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's
exactly
right.
Worth, I don't know, like $100 million. No,
yeah, like almost $200,000.
Yeah.
And then the most popular, the most fun one, I think, is Things on a Rabbit. And yeah. I do follow this one. Things on a Rabbit is Vinny the Rabbit, and he became an internet sensation after his owner started posting pictures of him balancing objects on his head.
Yes.
So ice cream cones, rubber ducks, mixers, bananas, yeah. And that's all it is, by the way, is this rabbit with things on its head. And for some reason, I find that hysterical. I don't know
and
why.
And what does that say about us, that we're
I don't know, but I think it's funny. And how easy, now there's a lot of copycats out, by the way, yeah. out there. So yeah. You know, there's horses with pancakes on heads and all kinds of yeah. stuff. Yeah, that's become popular too. But yeah, well, what's it say about us that I just read the other day, and I just started this. Jamie's been promoting the podcast, by the way, definitely not safe for work or child ears, is My Dad Wrote a Porno, the podcast. 80 million downloads.
Wow.
The numbers just came out on My Dad Wrote a Porno, and I started it on episode 4, and it is hilarious. The three British people that do this are hilarious. The hosts make the show. And it's about this one guy whose dad did write a book, a porno book.
Yeah.
And it's terrible. I mean, it's just awful. And they read
it
chapter by chapter. No, they read it chapter by chapter and make fun of every sentence. It is hilarious. But 80 million downloads, one of the most popular podcasts in the world now, right up there with NPR Serial. So
I can't imagine 80 million people. I mean, kudos to them. I mean, awesome.
Yeah. And they started it at the kitchen table. It sounded like they had this crappy mic in the middle of the kitchen table. The first couple episodes, the sound was terrible.
Yeah.
And they've improved since then because I think they're making a fortune. And I guarantee you that they've made more money off the podcast than he did selling his book.
Oh, totally. Totally.
It was pretty bad. But yeah, so it just goes to show you, it's the weirdest stuff. We've always said this, it's the weirdest stuff that sells, right? I mean, here you are writing these really good books, and we're reading one here every Wednesday, and yep. you work so hard at it, and this guy writes a crappy porno, they do a podcast, and here you go.
And I have not had 80 million sales, I can tell that.
I mean, that's... It's crazy. It's just crazy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's give a plug for your cause here while we're waiting for Dr. Chang.
Yeah. Yeah. So Colby's Army is a 501c3 nonprofit, colbysarmy.org. And we're a learning center for people with life challenges. That includes, autism, depression, post-traumatic stress, anxiety, Down syndrome. Anybody with a life challenge is welcome. And a lot of our volunteers have life challenges. And we do therapeutic riding, organic gardening, job training, and homeless outreach. And we're in Ashland City, Tennessee, which is just northwest of Nashville. We've got 54 beautiful acres and a creek and 4 therapy horses, one of which is the PATH Region 5 Equine of the Year. So we're very excited about that. And we also have the PATH Region 5 Volunteer of the Year. So we're excited. So check us out at colbysarmy.org.
Did you, how many people do you have at any given time that are...
Well, it depends on, so we've got like 12 just in our therapeutic riding program. Then we have ground activities, we have organic gardening and the job training, and we're small, but we like to give a lot of attention one-on-one to everybody in each program and really make an impactful difference with that person and then move on to the next. So we've got 70 active volunteers, and probably 70% of them have some kind of life challenge as well, that they're just finding some kind of help just through their volunteer activities. So we're in the middle of a capital campaign. We're in a lease purchase in our facility, so we're raising money to purchase it. And it's got quite the history because Lee Greenwood, Starr built the barn in 1974, and he bought the property from the Grand Ole Opry star Ray Pillow, and then members of Confederate Railroad, the country rock band, owned it. And if anybody
Holy
remembers,
cow!
and then if anybody remembers Johnny Rodriguez, kind of a Tex-Mex country singer, had a big hit called "Riding My Thumb to Mexico." We have his bathtub, so. So we have quite the history with the property, and there used to be moonshine stills on the property.
It used to be
It used to be a Native American camping ground, so lots of arrowheads and stuff. It's a pretty cool place. So we're just glad we're out there making
Let's
a difference.
Let's take a look
You have a place that Lee Greenwood owned that you built the barn on?
Yep, we have actually the bridge coming, and we have a little depression coming into the barn, so there's a bridge built over a wooden bridge, and it's called Lee Greenwood Boulevard.
Oh, well, then we have to play a little of this.
Yeah.
If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life.
We had to hear a little Lee Greenwood if you're going
to
do that.
That was pretty quick to be able to pull that up. That was good.
Well, that is his most popular song, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
God Bless the USA.
Exactly.
That is pretty cool that you own a piece of really country music history.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It's an amazing place. So, you know, if anybody wants more information, just go to colbysarmy.org and just check it out. And actually the Colby's Army Learning Center is only about maybe 6 or 7 miles from where Cat Enright lives.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, they're kind of neighbors.
Well, you made that kind of easy, right?
Yeah. Well, it just happened that way. It just worked out that way.
And if you want to, and if you haven't had a chance yet, every Wednesday we've been reading the first book, The Opium Equation, that Lisa wrote, and Jamie's doing a good job with that. We're at a chapter 10 now. So we finally got to a dead person.
Yay!
Every week we were rooting for a dead person, and we finally found one. So
that one starts a little slow. I had a hard time killing somebody off.
Yeah, well... So. Well, we finally got to a dead hand. That's all we know at this point. We got to a dead hand. But and I spoiler alert: if you haven't listened to last Wednesday's show, there's a dead person. Yeah. So we'll get to more about that in the next chapter, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, we have Dr. Chang on us. He joins us every single month, and he is from Omega Alpha Equine, one of our terrific sponsors. Good morning, Dr. Chang.
Morning, Glenn. How are you?
Good. Apparently, I can't speak this morning. I should have had a cocktail or something to start the day. I don't know. But you are here, and we're going to be talking. Now, Jamie is off. She's off riding, in Ireland right now.
Well, I heard she's been sending you pictures of every pub she runs across, and she's run across many, I heard.
Yes, that's true. That is true. She's supposed to be fox hunting, too, so we'll see how that goes. I'm knocking on wood. We come back with all her parts intact. It is kind of crazy.
You can't find foxes in pubs.
Jamie might be able to. You never know. So what are we talking about today with Omega Alpha?
Well, today I thought we'd talk a little bit about joint health and the role of hyaluronic acid in joint health.
Okay.
Because what we would like to talk a little bit is about our newest protocol for joints called Sinuex Plus with HA, hyaluronic acid. Hyaluronic acid, the role hyaluronic acid plays, hyaluronic acid is the major component of the stuff that lubricates your joints. So, you know, in the joint capsule itself, when you have two bones rubbing against each other, there's a layer of cartilage. And between those layers of cartilage is this little bit of fluid called hyaluronic acid. And what that does is basically lubricates the joint. So it acts like oil, engine oil, for want of a better analogy. Once you have that oil there, it helps lubricate it. But like anything else, as horses, people, everybody, as we get older, there's less and less of that being made. So one of the best ways of doing it is to give you the raw materials to so that the body can make more of this hyaluronic acid. But like anything else, your body has to be able to absorb the hyaluronic acid from its component and break it down to its component parts and then remake it as hyaluronic acid. So what happens is that when you go out there, there's a lot of hyaluronic acid out there. But the problem with horses and hyaluronic acid is that hyaluronic acid is a polymer. It's a long-chain molecule. And with absorption, with any of these long-chain molecules, the shorter the chain, the easier it is to absorb. And some And what we have done, we have looked for the shortest chain that you can find, right, out there. And basically, that's the hyaluronic acid that we use. So it's short chain, and it's much easily absorbed. It's much easier to absorb, right? So that means you get much more of that hyaluronic acid into your system. But more so, in our Synurex Plus product, we also have some of the anti-inflammatory herbs. And those anti-inflammatory herbs, again, are very important because every time you have joint injury or wear and tear in your joint, there's always an inflammation component. And because there's that inflammation component, if you have the anti-inflammatory herbs, what they do, they control that inflammation component and thereby promote the healing process. Last but not least, we also have the D-glucosamine in there. Now, everybody talks about glucosamine, but what they don't realize is that all the glucosamine that exists in the body is in the D form. So there's the D isomer form. But when most people sell glucosamine, it's a blend of D-glucosamine and L-glucosamine. The body absorbs all D and L, but it only incorporates the D form of the glucosamine. So if you buy 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams of glucosamine, you'll have roughly 500 milligrams of D and roughly 500 milligrams of L-glucosamine. So what we've done is we've been able to source the D-glucosamine. And so basically what you do is if you get 1,000 milligrams of D-glucosamine, you have 1,000 milligrams of usable glucosamine. All right, as opposed to the other one where you only had 500 milligrams of usable glucosamine. So this is what we've done to build a better product, I would say. But, you know, the hyaluronic acid these days is getting much, much more claim to fame. And a lot of people have approached us and said, hey, how come you don't have hyaluronic acid in this product? So that's why we went and we put it out there, and it just made sense for most people to get the glucose, the joint product with hyaluronic acid in it.
Now, does it test?
Go ahead, Glenn.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Did we determine, does it test, Dr. Chang?
Oh, none of these things test.
Okay.
Right. There's nothing, there's no components in there that will give you, that's FEI inadmissible.
Okay.
Okay. So it's not controlled, and nothing in there that will give you a test. Back in the day, what was it? MSM was on the FEI controlled substance list, right? But I have learned that that's going to be taken out as in 2018.
Really?
It's off the list. Yes, it's no longer on the list. You see, whichever rocket scientist put it on the list, right, didn't call it MSM. They put it under the name dimethyl sulfone, which is another name for MSM, right? So most people who were using MSM didn't know about it, right? You know, and so, but anyway, that's off the list now. It's come January 2018, it's kosher for use.
Wow.
So we have nothing in there that will give you a positive test.
Wow.
We never had, and the Synurex Plus with HA had no MSM in it, and we did that on specifically because of this ban on MSM.
Amazing. Dr. Chang, I have two questions for you. One is, I have an eye condition, and my eye doctor prescribed hyaluronic acid for my eyes, and I've noticed a huge difference, a huge improvement. And so does this help horses' eyes as well?
The what they use for the eyes is actually, what the hyaluronic acid does, it acts like artificial tears. It helps moisten the eyes. Right, I think when you talk about the horses with eye problems, you're thinking of things like uveitis and any type of damage to the eye like that, like inflammation of the eye, etc. Hyaluronic acid to the eye is not going to work that way.
Okay.
Right? The product that I know, the product that you're thinking of that the doctor gives you, is like if your eyes are dry and gritty. Right. Unfortunately, horses can't complain to you if they have dry and gritty eyes. This is something that that you probably have to notice just by paying very close attention to them. But usually, the horses, show horses, are young and so on, so they tend not to have those issues.
Got it. Now, my second question: I was really interested in the D and L forms of the glucosamine, and is that true in human supplements as well? So if I take glucosamine,
all supplements, it's true. Unfortunately, because what happened was that The glucosamine sulfate, nobody tweaks onto this because they just think of glucosamine. But if you ever do an analysis of glucosamine in the body, it's all the deform. It's like vitamin E, all right? Mm-hmm. Vitamin E has the same issue. It's the isomeric forms. There's two forms that you'll find out. They're the D alpha tocopherol and the L alpha tocopherol. And the D, even though the body absorbs both, the D form is the actual one that has vitamin E effect, right? The L form doesn't, right?
Oh.
And it just has to do with how it is the enzymes in the body get access to it.
Got it.
Right?
Got it.
Yeah. So it only uses the D form.
The D form. Okay. That's just fascinating. That's, yeah, amazing.
Now, how often do you use it, Dr. Chang? Is this something you use all the time, the Sinuex plus HA?
Yeah. I would use it on a daily basis if your horse is competing, right? And the reason you need to use it every day when your horse is competing, because even during training, et cetera, you stress the joints out. You stress the muscles out, right? And one of the things it does... These things create inflammation processes that go. Now, don't get me wrong. Inflammation is not necessarily bad. You need to have a little bit of inflammation in there. Otherwise, you'll never have repair. You'll never have strengthening of the joints, strengthening of the muscles, etc. But the problem is, a lot of times, inflammation just doesn't stop when it's supposed to stop. It keeps going on and on and on, right? They have what I would call subclinical inflammation that doesn't show up as like if you when you have an inflamed joint, you put your hands on it, you feel it's hot, right? That's a sign of inflammation. But usually, subclinical inflammation, you'll never see that, right? So because of that, but it does occur. So my response is that if you use it on a daily basis, right, you help control that inflammation. Now, if your horse is just sitting in the pasture looking back at you, he or she probably doesn't need as much of this as the horse that's in, a performance horse. So what I would do for those horses, again, wait till they get a little bit older and then give it to them, right? Some people use it as a preventative measure, right? And again, the preventative measure is because you supply the body with the glucosamine and some of that HA. Right, it's a way of getting it into their system. There's the old adage, you are what you eat, and people don't realize how true that is sometimes, because for a lot of animals and people especially, the only source of some of these materials is from your supplements, or I shouldn't say from your supplements, but from your food. And if you're not getting it in your food, right, your body has to learn to do without.
Mm-hmm. Is it bad that I'm a big bowl of ice cream?
It tastes better with a big bowl of ice cream, I'm sure.
Yeah, but that's you said I am what I eat. And basically, I'm a big bowl of ice cream. So,
if all you eat was a big bowl of ice cream every day in, day out, you would start to look like a big bowl of ice cream.
Well, Dr. Chang, we get this question a lot from our auditors and our listeners, is where they can find the products, especially the Sinuex plus HA. And there are dealers. Just go to the website, omegaalphaequine.com/USA, and there's a store locator there. And you'll find a list of e-dealers or dealers near us. Like, we have several stores right here in Ocala that carry your products. Also, if you can't find what you're looking for, give a call to Claire, 877-436-1221. She'll help you find a dealer that you can purchase from. Plus, I know that Omega Alpha is still looking for dealers here in the United States, right?
Yes, we're always looking for new dealers because unfortunately, we're not as well known in the U.S. yet, but we're getting there.
Yeah, you guys are a Canadian company, very well known in Canada.
Thank you. But I know you go to your favorite e-dealer. If you can't find us on a brick and mortar store, I'm sure you'll find us on the web.
Yep, that's right. And also, Mega Alpha is committed to helping you learn more about their equine products by offering free teleseminars or web classrooms held the last Monday of the month at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. Eastern. The next webinar is October 30th on hormone health. There's always a Q&A after. Registering is easy. You can give a call to 800-651-3172 and ask for Joanne to get your web classroom address and entry code. It's free, it's simple to do, and it's very, very informative. You guys have been doing this, well, I think, since we started working with you years ago. So we appreciate you providing all the information and stopping by again.
Thank you.
Now, Dr. Chang, I always get in trouble because I get you off track during the segment, and then you get yelled at, I get yelled at, we both get yelled at, but now the segment is done, so what's up?
Not much. Just keep your head down and keep on plugging on.
All right,
good. Are you going to the EP?
That's coming up, right?
Yeah, that's coming up. That's the next trade show I'm going down to be at. It's going to be in sunny San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, is that right? And for those that don't know, that's the American Association of Equine Practitioners. Did I get that right?
Yep.
Yeah,
that's
and
correct.
That's the big conference. Now, we've had vets on, Dr. Chang, who go to that and say they learn a little, but mostly what they talk about is the parties.
Unfortunately, I am there to work, so they don't let me in on the party side.
Because the vets we've had on are all like, yeah, that education stuff was fun, but, and then we hear all about the parties. So, well, Dr. Chang, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it. OmegaAlphaEquine.com. Take care.
Bye-bye now. Thank you again.
Bye-bye.
That's funny. It is true. Have you ever been to the AEP conference?
I have not been to AEP, the AEP, but I've had my own veterinarians and a couple that I know from around the country have said this kind of the same thing. It's a pretty big party thing.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, the vets, yeah. They have a pretty stressful life all year. This is their chance to get together
this
and just blow it out.
Say, yeah. I have done the Omega Alpha Equine webinars, and those are actually pretty cool, too.
Yes.
No party, you know. No. I mean, you have to like do your own party.
But you actually learn something. Yeah.
But
you can drink wine while you're watching.
Exactly.
Well, maybe the one at 7 p.m. 9 a.m., yeah. Maybe not so much.
No.
Well, you could. All right. Let's take a break for a song. We have Leslie from Eventing Nation and Horse Nation coming up. We're going to talk about a couple of the stories over there. So that'll be coming up yet today. But first, we're going to take a break. You know, I thought a little Dan Roberts, and we haven't heard this one in a long time, called Cowhand.com. We'll be right back. It's a fun song.
On to this brand new ranch. It was owned by a bunch of fancy pants, but they did have several high dollar trucks and trailers. Well, there was barns and pens, it was under construction, and I was informed by phone I'd receive my instruction in a video arriving in a padded mailer. It said, sort the cows in pen 11, then bring us a tag so we can scan them. And I didn't have a clue, but I took a sack full of them to headquarters. There was a lady at a computer typing in numbers, and the more she typed, the more I felt dumber, and she said, yep, 501's too old, gotta go back and sort her. I replied, I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed, scroll me back to where I'm from, cause I don't need no printout telling me that it's time to wean. Never seen a calf pulled by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, my security pass / photo ID opened the gate and picked out a horse for me, and you punch in a code and it start an automatic feeder. Of course, you still had to step over what them cows was downloading, and you did hair analysis with a digital modem, and put a cow up on the screen, it'd tell you which bull's gonna breed her. Well, then they give me this laptop from my saddlebags, and it got dusty out riding drag, and I knew the boss was gonna have my hide. Well, they said, just boot it up. open the windows. Something about a mouse and a bunch of minions, so I hauled off and kicked it. I kept the windows closed because it was freezing outside. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. I don't know where I just landed. Scroll me back to where I'm from, because I don't need no printout telling me which stall to clean. Never seen a horse shod by a machine, and this information highway keeps my pony sore and lean. I ain't no cowhand.com. Well, then they start talking downsizing and linking up. I told them I was heading for the tall and the uncut. They could stick that Pentium right in their AOL. They's faxing emails and hazing the web, and they even had a megabyte RAM. That sounds inbred. I reckon those people wouldn't know the difference between a hard drive and a paper trail. I ain't no cowhand, cowhand.com. Don't need no information highway to get back to where I'm from. And I don't need no printout telling me which colt is green. Never seen a bronc broke by a machine. Besides, this little cell phone just don't fit good in my jeans. I ain't no cowhand.com. I ain't no http://, all one word, all little letters, www.cowhand.com. Yeah, that's what you get when you try to cross one of them computers with a cowboy.
That's Dan Roberts. You can find all of his music at oldbootsmusic.com. Oldbootsmusic.com.
I love that song.
I know. It is fun. It's fun. He does a lot of fun songs. Yeah. Have you ever met him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, my being in Nashville, it's kind of hard not to get involved in the music industry. And I was a publicist for a while, and I used to see him at some industry events, and just a really nice guy.
We ought to post a link again to the show we did with him. We did a special musical episode with him, and he was out working cattle when we were talking to him. You could actually hear him in the background. So he is a real cowboy.
He's the real deal.
That's right. Yeah. And I think he does resent the whole modern thing, actually.
Oh, I think he does. Yeah.
Jennifer, we have a movie review for you. We went to see Victorian Abdul last night, and we'll talk a little bit about that, and there were some horses in it. But Jennifer's first going to tell us about the shoulder relief girth.
The shoulder relief girth, brought to you by Total Saddle Fit. The shoulder relief girth from Total Saddle Fit is now available in a synthetic version. It has all of the same research studies and technology that the leather version has, but it is super easy to care for and a little bit less expensive because it's made from synthetic. The shoulder girth improves saddle fit and comfort for your horse because it sits in the horse's natural girth groove. All horses have kind of a little hollowy spot where girths want to go.
That's the fancy term.
Yeah, that's the fancy term. That's the way real people describe it. But it is very carefully designed so that it moves, it kind of jogs back towards the rider's calf so that the billet straps on the saddle lie flat against the horse's body instead of angling forward. And the buckles are not straight. They're not perpendicular, they're not parallel to the edge of the girth. They're at a slight angle as well. So that ensures that the billet straps stay exactly where they should. And the synthetic shoulder relief girth is completely compatible with the 100% wool fleece cover that Total Saddle Fit makes for folks who don't want to have synthetic products against their horse's skin. You can have the advantages of the synthetic girth with the advantages of a natural cover. And you can find out more at TotalSaddleFit.com.
If you're right,
just think of everything.
Yeah,
they do.
This is actually a really good girth. And they also have a cinch, too, for Western saddles. So if you ride You can check out the cinch. Everything's on their website. I'd encourage you to go to the website at TotalSaddleFit.com. They have videos on there. They have really great drawings that show exactly how it works. Reese and Philip and a lot of our other hosts use this girth now, both English and Western, and really do like it. So check it out, TotalSettlement.com. We went to see Victorian Abdul, which is a movie, you know, it's probably out in limited release, I would say, right now, although it's made $42 million, which I was kind of surprised is a BBC production. And, you know, there's one thing about BBC productions, and we all, most of us watched Downton Abbey and have seen some of the other historical, and they have all the same actors. I think the BBC hires 100 actors and that's it. They use them in everything.
I think so.
It's true, though, isn't it?
Well, I mean, England's a small country, so they, you know, that's probably all the actors that they have.
But the best actor, I think, one of the best actresses in the world right now is in this movie, and that's Dame Judi Dench.
She's awesome.
Unbelievable. And her career, you know, most actresses complain that the older they get, the less jobs they get. I think the older she gets, the more jobs she gets.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of her earlier stuff, and I think she's just gotten better, but I think she's gotten really much more interesting roles as she's gotten older.
And she just is an incredible, no matter what she plays, she's just incredible. And this movie has her playing Queen Victoria in her later years, like when she's in her 80s. And it's taken off a true story. It's off of a book that was written by the same name, Victorian Abdul, by a guy named Shrabani Basu. And it's about the real life relationship between Queen Victoria and an Indian Muslim servant named Abdul Karim. And it was very interesting. It's just, I don't know. Jennifer and I walked.
This is a true story, right?
True story. It's based on a true story. I'm sure they took liberties, right?
Sure.
But it really is based on a true story. And that this Abdul guy from India, who was a servant at that point, he was brought to Britain to present an award, and the Queen kind of took favor to him and kept him around, much to the chagrin of all the household. And I'm not giving anything away. You can read about this. It's history. But the household hated him and didn't like him at all, but the Queen liked him. And it's all about the conflict. So there's nothing blowing up in this one, people.
No explosions.
No. But it's just the relationship between the Queen, her household, her advisors, and then this guy Abdul. And it really says a lot about friendship, too. I kind of walked away. I didn't talk to Jennifer about this. This Abdul guy, knowing he was at great peril when she died, hung around and was her friend. And, you know, it also gave you the feel, it also really let you know, because Judi Dench did such a great job with this, of how lonely it is to be a monarch. That really came across.
I can imagine.
Yeah, and, you know, you're surrounded by people, and you're so vulnerable and lonely the whole time.
Because everybody's
just favoring power. I mean, that's what everybody wants, and including your kids, who just are, you know, in her case, was a total jerk. But the movie is so well done, and there's so many close-ups, and Jennifer will attest to this, there's so many close-ups on Judi Dench's face, where it's 2-3 minutes of her just talking or crying or whatever, and it's just really well done.
Wow. Yeah.
It's one of those movies that for the first, 5 minutes of the film, there's no dialogue at all.
Right.
Really?
The intro into the storyline is just fascinating because it sets up who Queen Victoria is, and you literally don't hear a word from her and you don't see her face, but you know exactly who she is. It's really nicely done.
Wow. Did the household not like him just because he was from India, or was there another reason?
I think at that time, Britain.
Oh, yeah.
This was late 1800s.
India. Yeah. And it was just plain old, If you're Indian, you're a second-rate subject. And that's just culturally how it was at the time. And it was interesting to watch all of the different characters, the Queen, her household, the other servants, the other Indian servants besides Abdul, they all had their own struggle with that fact. That's just the way it is right now in our life. And it was very interesting the way the different characters dealt with that situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was also Muslim, which they had that too, you know? So, and this, I think the British had been ruling India by this point by about 25, 30 years. So she was the Empress of India, but knew nothing about India. Nothing.
Right.
I mean, she just knew nothing about it other than that was one of the many territories that Great Britain ruled at that time, that the British ruled. And I mean, they ruled most of the world at that point.
Oh, absolutely.
So it was interesting. It was a very good movie. And I will say that there must be one or two animal wranglers that they use for all of these historical dramas by the BBC. Because you see the same group of Frisians pulling every carriage, and you see the same 10 carriages in every show, right?
Oh, come on, Glenn, how can you tell one Frisian from the other?
How do you know it's the same one?
But that's a good point. But in this one, they had white horses pulling. There was like some PREs or some Spanish breed. I don't know, Andalusians or something pulling. Yeah, so they got some Andalusians pulling the same carriage this time.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's so funny.
I can see that where you can identify the same carriage, because I've seen that.
And the same buildings, the same church, the same. Yeah. It's always the same buildings, too.
Every film ever set in Great Britain, when there's a funeral scene, it's the same church in the same cemetery.
Yep.
Yes.
I swear.
It's the same one that Downton Abbey used
for filming in the country.
Yeah. Now, I've seen horses in you know, westerns here in the produced here in the U.S. that I've said, oh, I saw that horse in, you know, this movie. I've done that. But
With some of the paints, it's easier to tell, right? I mean,
it is. Yeah. Or even some of the you know, a quarter horse with this unusual stocking or something, you know. You could tell. But
if you're into period dramas at all, and you like Judi Dench, then she should win an award for this one. It was so well done. It was really well done. You should go see it. Now, you probably could wait for the scenery's okay, but that's not what the movie's about. So you probably could wait for this to come out to pay-per-view or video.
Okay.
So, yeah. It was good, though. We enjoyed it. Us and three other old people in the movie theater enjoyed it.
I love it when it's like that.
That was about it. It was like, not a record-breaking crowd.
It's your own showing, Glenn. It's just like a private viewing.
Yes, it really was. All right, let's see if we can get Leslie on here from Horse Nation and Eventing Nation. And we'll talk a little wacky world of horses today.
Yeah.
Hi, Leslie.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. You know, we haven't had you on. We haven't talked to you lately about what you're doing a lot more work now for Eventing Nation, I hear rumors.
Yeah, well, I have been for quite a long time. Kristen's been heading up. She is the official Queen Bee at Horse Nation, and I'm the editor-in-chief at Eventing Nation. So,
so you're like the big boss. They give you responsibility, really? Do they know you?
Oh, yeah. They know me very well.
You know, I'm kidding. We started with you when you were a puppy reporter.
I know.
Yeah.
Back in 2012. We were like, here's a brand new website, Horse Nation.
Horse Nation. There were like three articles on it. We were like, well, let's work together. That sounds like our kind of place.
Yep.
It'll be something someday.
Yeah. And it is.
And it is. That's right.
Grown-up website.
Really, Lisa, we did just start with them when Horse Nation just started. It was just at the beginning.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, I've been following the site since probably day one, and it's just grown. And I read those three articles.
And Leslie wrote them all at that point too. She was writing everything.
So I mean, it's really grown into just this huge thing. Now you go and it's like, boy, I could just get lost in there, and I have, you know, for hours.
Yeah. Same thing. I mean, that Horse Nation, Eventing Nation too, you know, which kind of started in our publisher, John's, you know, he's teasing like in your mom's basement, John, like this crappy blog that he put together that just spread its wings and flew. So I don't know how, Glenn, had the foresight to see that any of this would grow into something.
Well, you know, I talked to John. This is not a little known secret, but I talked to John even before he started Eventing Nation. He came to a thing we did on new media, and he had just started it, and I read it, and he asked me what I thought, and I said, it's boring. It's just boring news. You need to kick this thing up a notch and let it have some personality, and then look where it went. You know, it got personality all right. So...
Yeah, we have to rein it in sometime. Too much personality, too much.
Then they hired Leslie, and that wasn't a problem anymore. Yeah. How did you, just a little history, how did you end up knowing John? John, who we're talking about, is the one who started All the Nations, basically. He was a founder, like I was for Horse Radio Network, he was for The Nations. How did you meet him? How did you end up there?
Well, I was doing horses full time, and I had started a blog just for my while eventing, and it sort of started as just like sort of an online journal so that people that have horses in training with me could look online and see kind of like, you know, dear diary, here's what my horse did today, or here's what your horse did today.
That's your horse cool sucked today. Your horse was terrible.
Yeah, some of that for sure. But, you know, because I think if you're paying money to have your horse in training, it's kind of nice to, like, be able to look in and see a little window without also, like, saving me people calling me all of the time, and see pictures and see what your horse is up to, and I thought it was a nice thing, but then I sort of, you know, couldn't keep my mouth shut as usual and started writing about other things on the sidelines of that, you know, kind of opinion pieces and just funny slices of life from doing horses, you know, for a living. And then Eventing Nation started. They'd sort of pick up some of they were constantly like linking to my blog. And then I won a blogger contest. I think it was the first annual blogger contest in 2011, I think.
That was a long time ago. Yeah.
Yeah, time ago. And I won that. And so they kind of brought me on. I got to start writing for Eventing Nation for free on a regular basis. That was exciting. And then,
hey, Lisa subbed for this show for free for a long time too. So
I did, yes.
And then I think I was kind of looking to. I was like, you know, this. I think this is really my calling. I really enjoy writing about horses, and I think I'm actually probably better at that than I am, you know, it's just doing horses professionally is hard. It's a hard life.
Yes,
I have so much respect for anyone that does that. And so I sort of like begged John to. He had this little fledgling idea of a new website called Horse Nation, and so I sort of begged him to, let me see if I could get it off the ground, and he did. And then, you know, it's kind of.
Here we are. So, how many nations are there now? There's Sport Horse Nation, which is a sales site, right?
Yep, that's what costs.
And then Venting Nation, of course, everybody knows that. And then Jumper Nation, which is on the jumping side.
Yeah, and Jumper Nation, yeah, that's really taking off.
And that's a tough market because there's so much press in that world.
Yeah, so much press. Yeah, but I think I sort of launched that and got it up and running and then handed the reins to Lorraine Jackson, who's just done a really good job of getting sort of, I think, like between the cracks of that sport and like pulling out some neat stories and like neat aspects of the hunter jumper world and making it more personal, which I think there is a lack. That was something.
Wait a minute.
Lacking.
It was boring.
Yeah, exactly.
But I can count on you guys to fix that.
Yeah. You know, I think writing is probably one of the only professions where people expect you to do it for free for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did happily. I really did. And, you know, it's not, because I loved it. I think.
Yeah. So, and you're good at it.
That's from one writer to another right there.
Yeah. Yeah. But you're great at it. And so... This is cool.
Now, Lisa can help you with your book that you don't want to write, Leslie. So Lisa can help you with that, all right? She's ghostwritten many books for celebrities, so.
There you go. Or I could point you in the right direction.
Just, and what Lisa just said there is, I'm not taking Leslie on. No way in hell.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, one of the things on Horse Nation right now we want to remind everybody of is we have the final round of Equestrians Have Talent up there for voting until Thursday. So you want to go over there. You can listen right there. Just hit play. You can listen to the three finalists and what they did. We had Abby do Go the Distance. We had Allison do a poem and piano at the same time. And we had A.K. Moss with a poem. So the voting is happening right now. It looks like Abby is in the lead. So you definitely want to go over there and vote. Get your votes in. Abby's at 53%. Allison's at 36%. And A.K. Moss is at 11%. So if you heard that Stable Scoop show, or if you haven't, it doesn't matter. Just head on over to just to go to Horse Nation and search for Equestrians Have Talent, and you'll see the voting for the winner. Or just go to equestrianshavetalent.com. It'll take you right to that page where you can do the voting. But what we determined, you know, last couple of years, Leslie, we, as you know, we've determined that our listeners have a lot of talent for Radiothon. I mean, they can sing, they can play, they can do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And we verified that with Equestrians Have Talent. So we'll have to continue to do that with Horse Nation every year. It was fun.
Yeah, for sure.
And we determined that they have all the talent and we don't. And I'm not quite sure why we're on the air, but you know.
I was surprised at the creativity. I mean, holy cow, it was hysterical.
Yes, they really can. Yeah. And some, you know, they're really good.
So, yes.
Singing in the car and all that stuff. And then you do all the time equestrian problems according to Twitter, right?
Yeah.
I love that.
Because there is an endless supply of equestrian problems, right?
Yes. Give us a couple.
Let's see. This one in from Megan Porter. I just want to spend all my time at the barn with my horse, but apparently I'm an adult with responsibilities.
Yeah, like paying for the horse.
Let's see. From Chris Arthur. When you borrow your goddaughter's metal detector to find the shoe your horse lost in the arena.
Yeah. I have been there.
Yeah, God, if you have a pasture that has a little bit of mud in it, you're done. You're never finding that shoe. It's gone.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We had some big pastures in Pennsylvania. If they lost a shoe, it was like, ugh.
Goodbye.
Yeah. It was just cheaper to get a new shoe.
Yeah, we did that like a couple of weeks ago. We had a couple of metal detectors donated, and we had them out there. We found bottle caps, and we found pull tabs, and we found cans that buried, like, I don't know, a foot down, but try to find.
Yeah, why don't us horse people, when we're looking for that shoe, ever find the buried treasure? We never do. Never.
No.
We just find bottle caps. And
found a nickel.
Yeah, there you go.
Found a nickel.
I like this one. Cammy said, if you want to learn patience, just try navigating a gooseneck through town. Patience, or you're going to be hitting things. It's one or the other. It's one or the other is going to happen. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, that is tough. We've talked about this one before, and I think, Leslie, you've had this problem. We've talked about this before, Kyra, and I think when you were in the Mongol Derby, you found other things in there, too. Was, oh my God, I haven't even worn this bra to the barn, and I'm finding whiskers and hair in it.
Yeah. Man, I body clipped my pony last week, and that is the worst. When you just got, like, tiny needles of hair just in, like, I'm like, how did you get into my bra? The bra is on, like, I'm wearing two layers of clothing.
And that, for some reason, doesn't come out in the wash either, does it?
And it just stays in there forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my ultimate equestrian problem, for sure.
The worst.
Here's another one. Andy said, hearing the total after finding two things at the tax store. Yeah. That's because you didn't limit it to two things, Andy.
Yes. But then Andy also says, spends $220 and then hesitate on the horse and then ultimately does not buy something for himself or herself above $30.
No. Yeah. Jennifer will not buy a shirt or shoes above $30 for herself. Yet her horse's glue-ons cost about $200 every 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But shops at Goodwill for herself. Yep.
I mean, think of the shoe collections that we humans could have if we spent that money. I mean, we could be like Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City, just all the, you know what I mean? Just a closet full of it.
And you never wear any of them except your barn boots anyway. So,
yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
You'd never wear them. All right. One last story. And you have a little bit of personal experience with this gentleman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a story called Wild Coast Wild Ride, the mastermind behind Rocket Horse Racing. Now, I thought the Mongol Derby was crazy. This just kicks it up a notch.
Yeah, one of these Mongol Derby guys, he specifically, Barry Armitage, he co-won the Derby, the Mongol Derby this year, has his own crazy race going on down in that he's been running in South Africa. And he and a lot of former Derby contestants have gone on and looking for their next adventure, have gone on and done it. And it's called the Wild Coast. I think one of the things that sort of sets it apart is you spend a lot of time, and I'm like, this is not a selling point for me. I was like, why are you telling this? I'm definitely never going to come to your race now. It involves a bunch of river crossings, like actual swims.
I'm looking at the photos now. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah, these aren't river crossings. These are lake crossings. I mean, that's just like...
There are 32 rivers along the coastline to be crossed.
This is the coastline of Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. When I'm like, I don't even want to know what fishies are in there. I'm like, no, thank you.
No.
Yeah. No. I'm like, we remember that I almost drowned myself and my horse once already this summer. So I'm like, this is not on my bucket list.
You're not signing up for this?
No.
Yeah. And it looks like, I mean, there's this photo of somebody navigating a horse, leading a horse down rocks. And it looks like it's going off a cliff. I mean, the terrain looks like totally challenging.
Yeah. It does look beautiful. But but I think once I got to a water crossing, I'd be like, no, thanks.
Now, one of the things about this race, and it works a lot like the Mongol Derby, it's 350 kilometers of South Africa's remote and rugged western coastline. Mm-hmm. First of all, it doesn't sound safe to me in any which way, but it does say that they make you stay in camp. Is that so you don't get kidnapped and killed, or what's the reason for that?
I mean, probably. I don't know. I've never been to Africa, but it seems like there is some treacherous stuff. Like, I mean... It's Africa. Like, what's in the lions and tigers and bear, lions and tigers.
Yeah.
I mean,
People.
People. Yeah,
that's right.
Scary people with like the bones through their nose.
Yeah.
And like, yeah.
And guns and things like that. Yeah.
Human sacrifice. I don't know what goes on down in Africa, but I don't want to find out. I'm not doing a real good job of selling.
No, I don't think anybody's signing up after we've talked about it this morning. No.
To his credit, it does look incredible. I'm sure if you are up for an adventure, I'm sure that this brings it. And also Barry is such a cool dude. I was really rooting for him to win this year's race. This was his third time contesting the Derby, and he almost in sort of like a mirror image of Devin Horn. It is, of course, Horse in the Morning favorite. He crossed the finish line first one time. I think, didn't pass the vet or had a vet penalty, which relegated him to second. Another time he fell off his horse and broke his collarbone.
Oh, no.
On the last leg.
Mm. No. Oh, man.
Now that sucks.
I know.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, and he was, and then this third time he won, and so I think we were all cheering for him, and you could tell it from the get go that he wanted it, he was like no nonsense. I rode for him with him for a while at the beginning of the race, probably to his chagrin, I remember we came into one horse station. This is while I was still up at the top of the race, and I was like, "Hey, you want to ride this next leg with a couple pretty girls?" And talking about me and Pixie, and he just rolled his eyes and like walked away.
That girl doesn't stop talking. I'm out of here.
I'm not here to have a good time. I'm here to win this thing.
Yeah.
Well, we did end up, we caught up with him, and we just it was the most funny leg, because you could tell we were just like grating on his nerves and cracking jokes. Me and Pixie, we just didn't care. We were just there for, we were
right, right.
And And we were like, sorry, we caught up with, it seems that we caught up with you, you know, and that's too bad because I know that, you know, it's like once you're with a group of horses, you can't get your horse to take off and leave that group of horses. And
right.
He said, yeah. Well, shit happens. And so we rode along for a long time. And then toward the end, maybe, I don't know, 5-10K from the finish, his horse just kind of quit. And me and Pixie just were like, rode off, you know, without him. And
just
like,
left him.
Barry.
That's funny. Well, you know, he wasn't there to pick up girls. We know that.
No.
For sure. But he would be a fun one. I bet he'd be fun to have on the show sometime.
Yeah, I do want to get Barry on the show. He's a great accent, too. Okay. So we'll have to get him on sometime. You know, I did want to mention that on Stable Scoop that came out just last week, episode 478, I did a one-on-one interview with Devin Horn. We went one-on-one for like 40 minutes and kind of went through a history. And of course, the movie, have you seen the movie, the Wild Horses movie yet?
I haven't.
Probably dying to see that just as much as I am. I really do want to see that.
Yeah, I'm wondering how we can access that. I know it's going to be in
yet.
Film festival.
It's going to be at the film festival, and I'd love to get up to the New York Film Festival one of these times. But it's All the Wild Horses movie, and it's at allthewildhorsesmovie.com if you want to see where to see it at the film festivals. But it followed a year of the or 2 years actually of the Mongol Derby. And it was poor Devin. It was like the year I had total meltdowns and made me look like a total jerk. But it was a good movie. So
I can hear her saying that.
Yes. Devin's going to come on once a month on the new Stable Scoop that we're starting in January. Mm-hmm. She's going to come on with Devin's adventures because she's always up to something. So, and she's also gearing up. She's going back this year. She wanted to know if you're going back to ride with her next year at the Derby.
No. I don't know. Probably not. I'm going to say probably not. I think I've had my Derby.
Not only that, who can afford that 2 years in a row?
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. If I win the lottery between now and then.
Yeah. I don't know. You were pretty never doing that again after you came back.
Yeah.
Glad I did it. Never want to do it again.
Once in a lifetime, I'm done. I don't know that your husband wants you to go back either. He would be supportive, but I think secretly he'd be going, oh, God, not this again.
You know, I'm just not sure I'd have enough cat lives left over after this year. I'd get over there and be like, darn it.
But aren't you glad you did it?
Oh, I'm so glad. Of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, been there, done that, glad I did it, never again. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's one other thing too I'll plug while you're on here, and people have to get this done soon, is we're at the final stretches of being able to book for the Horse Lovers Cruise in February. We have 55 people signed up, so definitely all the ports are open that we're going to be going to. Key West is back open again, so the pub crawl is on, and we're looking forward to having all of you along. So if you want to check that out and sign up, it's horseloverscruise.com. You'll find all the details and information. February the 12th, we're rolling out. So actually, we're sailing out. We're not rolling out.
Sailing out.
Yep, that's right. So check that out as well. Well, thank you, Leslie, for joining us, Horse Nation, Eventing Nation. Anything, what's going on in eventing? What's the big news?
Man, I mean, I guess we're kind of just wrapping up the season now. We've got Poe is the four-star.
Yeah, which one of our hosts, Joe Myers, over there right now.
Yes.
Along with Max, Joe and Max both.
Really exciting. So that's coming up this next weekend, and that's the last, you know, sort of big event of the year. And we've got, I think, four North Americans heading over to cheer for, and plus Joe, that'll be fun. That's a really cool event. I got to cover it 1 year, and it's in the south of France.
Wow.
It's just amazing. I mean, there's like palm trees. You can see the, I don't know, it's like on the what is it? What are the mountains down there? The big ones. I just
the
Alps,
stuck up
the Andes. The, I don't know which ones are there either.
The Alps.
Those the big ones you're talking about?
Some big mountains.
Yeah.
Just big mountains.
The mountains. I don't know. I don't get out much, but I just never associate palm trees with France. I think that's awesome.
yeah. The temperatures are, you know, it's temperate. Even this time of the year, it's pretty warm. So, man, yeah. So that'll be a fun one to follow for sure.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. And we're wishing Joe, who hosts the Eventing Radio Show, good luck. Mm-hmm. Clip Clop, I think he has over there, right?
It's yeah, they are such a great team. Clop and Joe.
I hope they he always has one phase that's an issue with Clip Clop. So I'm hoping he can put all that together at Pell.
Yeah.
It's his time to do that. And Max is there helping him. So Max Cochran is co-host and the number one groom in the world. Mm-hmm. So he has the best groom there is. So
that's helpful.
Yeah, that does help.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Leslie.
Okay, you guys.
All right, talk to you next week.
You too. Bye. Thank you.
Bye. For anybody in Florida, there is a CDE coming up. That's a combined driving event. It's a new one, actually, at the Grand. And I don't know if Jennifer knew
about
this.
There's a new one? There's a new CDE?
Yes,
wow,
that's right.
That hasn't happened in 50 years.
At Grand Oaks, right down the road from us, at Grand Oaks CDE. It's going to be held December 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Grand Oaks Equestrian Center in Weirsdale, Florida, which is just south of Ocala. So if you're in the area, it's a beautiful. Grand Oaks is just beautiful. And it's a great place to go. We're going to have to go down and take a watch during marathon day. I'm excited to see. It's a huge place. So, and I'm sure they'll have some great marathon obstacles. But if you haven't seen a CDE yet, combined driving event, and you haven't seen carriages go through a marathon course, you think eventing cross country is fun? This kicks it up a whole new level.
Absolutely.
Add wheels and multiple horses.
Oh, yes. I have watched a couple of these. They are amazing to watch. So much fun and, you know, nail biting and it's yeah.
And crazy.
Yes, that too. That too.
Most riders that watch this go, there's no way in hell I'm getting on that carriage. And, you know, it does add a new level of suspense. And they go through these obstacles that are just a couple inches wider than the carriages and they're flying through, crashing into them.
I know. Ugh. It's just crazy. And the horses are just, you can just see them making the decisions like, you know, when you're watching, you know, across country, you know, you're watching the horse, these horses are, they are calculating where they've got to go. I mean, it's wild.
It is wild. We're going to have to definitely check that out. That's right. That's the weekend after. Hey, we'll be free, Jennifer, because it's the weekend after Radiothon. We can actually breathe
again. There you
again.
Go.
Woo! Yeah.
Yay.
Radiothon is coming up. You all have to start thinking about your entries into what you want to sing or do or anything. Monday, we'll make the official announcement of when they're all due by. I think it's going to be November the 15th. So you definitely want to start thinking about your Radiothon entries. I noticed that some of the auditors are getting together. Biz Stam, who always does the Jewish, she's our resident Jewish person. We have one in the audience that we know about. Actually, there's two now because she's getting together with the other Jewish person and they're going to do one together.
Yay!
So it's a duet. Rachel's going to join her and the two of them are going to do a Jewish song. She always represents every year. And if there's more Jews out there, feel free. You're allowed to enter. We would love for you to get your entries in. This is a lot of fun. We're putting the final touches. We're working on who we're going to get as guests. All the hosts are working on that. Website will be done shortly and you're going to be there. Lisa's going to be there again.
I will be there.
You're working on your big guest too, right?
I am. Yeah. I am. It's a surprise.
Can't wait. Can't wait. And we're going to bring in more help for Jennifer so she doesn't die this year.
That's nice.
Yeah. She did pretty much. Well, we had help, a couple hours last year. Denise came over and helped for a couple of hours, but pretty much she was on duty the whole 12 hours and taking all those calls. We had 160 calls that day. Plus calling all the guests and getting all that done and all the hosts involved and everything. So Jemmy is coming up and going to help her half the time. So,
you know, my favorite hour of the marathon is the horse husband's hour because at the total end of it, you guys are so punch drunk. It's just, it's just funny.
Well, we're going to do that again this year. And then this year we are ending, we can announce this, instead of a Venting Nation ending, Leslie's going to be here with Kristen from Horse Nation. Jamie's going to come back. So the last hour is just going to be all of us just having, and Wendy will be here. It's just going to be all of us having a good time. Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. And that's where I Am Spartacus started, was last year with Leslie in the last hour. So who knows what she's going to come up with this year. But yeah, it's just going to be a free-for-all the last hour. There's really no theme. We're going to see what kind of guests we can get that are funny and really want to join us with no agenda. So yeah, the last hour is going to be a little different this year. It's not going to be eventing-based. It's just going to be party. So I am excited. I'm starting to get excited about it. It's a lot of work for us, but we're getting some help this year so I don't die. That's helping too. Thank you, Jemmy, for helping us out there. Where can people find you, your books, and everything that you do? You do clinics, you do all kinds of stuff.
I do. I do clinics and workshops and sessions and horse fairs and expos and all that kind of stuff. You can find me at lisawysocki.com. That's W-Y-S-O-C-K-Y. And or on Facebook, just lisawysocki.com. Twitter, Lisa Wysocki. Just I'm everywhere.
How do you spell it?
W-Y-S-O-C-K-Y.
It's just like it sounds, but you want to complicate it and add like I's and, you know, things.
Yeah, most people
it.
Want to put an I at the end and then they don't find me.
Yes,
so
yeah.
The story is my great-grandfather got mad at his brothers and changed the spelling of the name.
It an I?
It was an I going back.
Were they Polish? Originally.
Yes.
Yeah?
Well, they were either Polish or Russian or Belarusian, depending on where the border was that decade.
Oh, that's right.
So,
there you go.
Yeah.
Depends who won the war that decade.
Exactly.
Even history is fluid.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Are you glad it's with a Y now, or would you rather have an I?
I'd rather have a Jones or a Smith, actually.
Yeah, as a writer. Are you sorry you didn't take a pen name?
No.
No,
okay. No. Because I just think that's complicated. Although, little sneak peek, I have like dallied with a different type of a series under a pen name. So, I may.
Is that out, or are you playing with that?
I'm just playing right now. I'm just playing.
Is it?
It may be like romantic Western suspense type
so
stuff.
So, look for the next series of books coming out under Lisa Jones.
Yeah.
She's going to pick the easiest to spell names that she can find.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or maybe Anne or Sue or Mary or. Yes.
Anne is tough because you can have an E or no E.
Yeah. Even
Mary, you know, it could be M A R I or M A R Y E, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but everybody's going to guess that one right the first time. You're going to put a Y at the end and go with that. So Mary Jones.
Mary Jones.
Perfect. Yeah. It even sounds like it should be a name.
I'm sure it's somebody's name.
Sounds like it should be a name. There you go, Glenn.
Yep.
That's my.
That's rocket science.
Cut that one out, Jennifer. We can use that in the future.
Exactly.
All right, so mark that. Well, that's it for today. We'll be back with the Western episode. Tara will be here tomorrow, and we'll be talking all things Western. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you so much. Good to talk to you guys.
All right. Keep an eye on Jamie's Facebook page. She's posting pictures of her horsey adventures over there in Ireland. We'll see everybody.
Bye.
If I can get the music to play, it won't play. There we go.
You ever done this before?
Mary, Mary.
Ha ha ha.